In a culture that celebrates extroversion and toughness, being labeled sensitive often carries a stigma. Yet Jen Graneman and Andre Solo's groundbreaking book, Sensitive, has become a cultural phenomenon, climbing bestseller lists and finding champions in everyone, from corporate executives to celebrities like Kristen Bell, who praised it for validating her experiences. The book arrives at a crucial moment when burnout, anxiety, and disconnection plague our society. Drawing from cutting-edge neuroscience research, the authors reveal that sensitivity isn't a weakness, but a powerful genetic trait affecting nearly one-third of the population, a trait that, when properly understood and harnessed, offers extraordinary advantages in perception, creativity, and human connection. Through vivid storytelling and practical insights, they invite readers on a journey to transform what many have considered their greatest liability into their most profound strength. For many, sensitive remains a dirty word, something to be fixed, overcome, or hidden. When the authors mentioned they were writing a book about sensitivity, reactions ranged from confusion to defensiveness. One friend's boyfriend bristled, "If someone called me sensitive, I'd be really offended." This response reveals how deeply the stigma runs. Yet sensitivity isn't about being easily offended or emotionally fragile. It's a fundamental personality trait as scientifically valid as introversion or extroversion. Groundbreaking research by Jerome Kagan in the 1980s first identified sensitivity as an innate trait present from birth. His team tested hundreds of babies with various stimuli and discovered that some infants, labeled high reactive, responded intensely with kicking and crying, while others remained calm. Following these babies into adulthood confirmed this temperament persists throughout life. Today, we understand sensitivity as environmental responsiveness-sensitive people perceive more information from their surroundings, process it more thoroughly, and are ultimately more shaped by their experiences. Whether called highly sensitive people, HSPs, sensory processing sensitivity, or environmental sensitivity, these individuals, approximately 30% of the population, experience life with greater intensity and depth. Sensitivity isn't rare or limited to artists and intellectuals. It occurs equally across genders, despite cultural messaging that discourages male sensitivity. Like other human traits, sensitivity exists on a spectrum, with everyone falling somewhere along it. What distinguishes highly sensitive people is their fundamentally greater responsiveness to their surroundings and experiences, creating both challenges and gifts that shape how they move through the world. Sensitive people often notice subtle details others miss, feel emotions intensely, absorb others' feelings easily, become overwhelmed in busy environments, need substantial downtime, read people exceptionally well, dislike violence and cruelty, hate feeling rushed, tend toward perfectionism, struggle under pressure, react strongly to environmental factors, startle easily, think deeply about life's mysteries, have vivid dreams, adapt slowly to change, and feel deeply moved by beauty and art. From an evolutionary perspective, sensitivity offers significant advantages. Scientists have identified this trait in over 100 species, from cats and dogs to insects and primates, with evidence showing it evolved multiple times in separate primate lineages. Studies of rhesus macaques reveal that sensitive individuals with nurturing mothers become clever, resilient leaders in their troops. Among humans, sensitivity confers powerful advantages. Sensitive people demonstrate superior pattern recognition, intuition, and prediction abilities. The sensitive brain processes information more deeply and thoroughly than others, like a meticulous lawyer rather than a distracted teenager. Neuroscience confirms these differences. In a 2010 fMRI study, researchers showed participants images with subtle changes and found that sensitive people took longer to spot differences because they scrutinized details more carefully. Their brains showed significantly greater activation in regions related to visual processing and evaluating complexities. This deep processing manifests as both intellectual depth and emotional awareness, essentially two sides of the same trait. Many sensitive people lean toward one aspect, but possess capacity for both. This deep processing correlates strongly with intelligence. Linda Silverman, director of the Gifted Development Center, found that most gifted individuals, especially those in the top 1 to 2% of IQ, are highly sensitive. Sensitivity is frequently confused with other traits and conditions, but remains distinct. While introverts and sensitive people share characteristics like needing downtime and having rich inner lives, they differ fundamentally. Introversion describes social orientation, preferring small groups or solitude, while sensitivity describes environmental orientation. Approximately 30% of sensitive people are actually extroverts. Similarly, though autistic people and sensitive people may both experience sensory sensitivities, their brains process social and emotional cues. Differently sensitive brains show heightened activity in areas related to calmness, self-control, and social reflection, while autistic brains show decreased activity in these regions. Sensitivity also differs from sensory processing disorder, which impairs daily functioning through extreme over or under response to stimuli, and from trauma, though sensitive people may be more easily traumatized due to their heightened responsiveness to all stimuli. Brain scans show differences between sensitive people and those with PTSD. Importantly, sensitivity can coexist with other conditions, but is not itself a disorder. It's a normal human variation that some consider a form of neurodiversity. Sensitivity is fundamentally rooted in our genetic makeup. The short version of the serotonin transporter, SERT gene, once thought to cause depression, is now understood as a social sensitivity gene, or plasticity gene, that makes people more responsive to their environment. People with this gene variant can more easily read emotions, evaluate risk, and may be more creative and empathetic. However, sensitivity isn't determined by a single gene, but emerges as a pattern across the genome, involving multiple genes that affect the brain's dopamine system. This genetic foundation explains why sensitive people experience both negative and positive stimuli more intensely, what scientists call vantage sensitivity, allowing them to thrive extraordinarily well when given basic support. Sensitivity manifests in three distinct ways. First, low sensory threshold makes you a super sensor, who notices subtle environmental changes but becomes quickly overwhelmed by stimuli, like crowds, caffeine, or scratchy textures. Second, ease of excitation makes you a super feeler, who absorbs others, emotions easily, needs significant downtime, and feels stress intensely. Third, aesthetic sensitivity makes you an aesthete deeply moved by art, music, and beauty, with attention to subtle details others miss. Most sensitive people experience some combination of these types. In the nature-nurture debate, sensitive people represent a unique case. Their genetic pattern makes them more responsive to nurture. Scientists have quantified this relationship. Genes are 47% responsible for sensitivity, while environmental influences account for 53%. Early childhood experiences particularly shape sensitivity levels, with a fascinating U-shaped pattern emerging in research. Children in extreme environments, either highly supportive or negligent, maintained consistent sensitivity levels, while those in neutral environments actually decreased in sensitivity. Researcher Michael Plus discovered that sensitivity offers advantages beyond what scientists first realized, a concept he called vantage sensitivity. His groundbreaking study with at-risk teenagers showed that while an antidepressant program had minimal impact on less sensitive teens, it dramatically helped sensitive teens overcome depression, with benefits lasting at least a year. Similar results have appeared across age groups. Sensitive adults near divorce respond better to relationship interventions. Sensitive children develop superior social skills and academic performance with quality care. And sensitive people generally extract more benefit from therapy. Sensitivity provides five distinct gifts: empathy, creativity, sensory intelligence, depth of processing, and depth of emotion, all built on environmental responsiveness. While sensitive people may develop some gifts more than others based on life experience, each provides a unique advantage. Empathy, the ability to feel into others, is a modern concept that originated in aesthetics before entering psychology. Sensitive people possess extraordinary empathy, with brain scans showing heightened activity in regions associated with awareness, empathy, and action planning when viewing others in distress. This trait powered Jane Goodall's groundbreaking work with chimpanzees. Research shows empathy is both genetic and teachable, forming the foundation of human morality and driving progress. Psychology professor Abigail Marsh began studying empathy after being saved by a stranger who risked his life running across a freeway. Her research revealed that highly altruistic people have different brain structures than average people, specifically in their capacity for empathy. At the opposite extreme are psychopaths, who have smaller, less active amygdalas and must consciously work to feel empathy, whereas most people naturally experience it. The sensitive artist stereotype exists for good reason. Minds that notice more detail, make more connections, and feel emotions vividly are naturally wired for creativity. Researcher Nina Wolf confirmed this link, finding that people with the short SIRT gene associated with sensitivity scored higher on tests measuring creative originality. Arthur Koestler's influential theory explains why. True creativity emerges from blending different frames of reference, something sensitive people do naturally as ultimate polymaths who think across disciplines rather than in silos. Sensory intelligence means heightened awareness of your environment and the ability to extract meaningful information from it. Sensitive people notice both sensory details themselves, like texture in paintings or coding errors, and their implications, anticipating muddy conditions after rain. This tuned-in quality can seem almost mystical, as with Sunita Lisdowska, who saved her husband's life by waking to subtle changes in his breathing during cardiac arrest. In sports, it manifests as field vision, the ability to read the entire playing field that made athletes like Wayne Gretzky and Tom Brady legends despite physical limitations. Sensitive people don't merely take in more information, they process it more thoroughly. Like the difference between two tax accountants, one who simply inputs numbers versus one who examines supporting documents, finds additional savings, and screens for audit triggers. This deep processing is the default setting of the sensitive brain, resulting in more careful decision-making, thorough thinking, creative connections between ideas, preference for meaningful activities, deeper analysis, original perspectives, and often accurate predictions about outcomes. Depth of emotion, though often misunderstood, is a profound gift of sensitivity. Sensitive people experience stronger emotional reactions, both positive and negative, which gives them fluency in a language others struggle to speak. This emotional intensity stems from the ventromedial prefrontal cortex, VMPFC, which colors their world with added depth and vividness. Psychiatrist Kazimierz Dąbrowski linked this emotional intensity to high achievement and self-actualization, noting that gifted individuals tend to be overexcitable and driven by compassion. No gift comes without cost. The same deep processing brain that gives sensitive people their superpowers requires frequent rest and space time, patience, quiet, and calm. Without these conditions, the sensitive mind becomes overwhelmed like an overstuffed laundry machine, unable to process the flood of inputs. Sensitive people inevitably face overstimulation throughout their lives. Common triggers include excessive sensory stimuli, crowds, loud music, bright lights, worries and recurring thoughts, emotions from others, especially judgment or anger, one's own emotions, social obligations, tight deadlines, information overload, changes, even positive ones, novelty and uncertainty, chaotic schedules, environmental clutter, being observed while performing tasks, and multiple simultaneous demands for attention. Overstimulation can be understood through the bucket analogy. Everyone carries an invisible bucket that collects stimuli, but sensitive people have smaller buckets that fill quickly. When your bucket overflows, you experience dysregulation. Your sensory system essentially declares no more. When overstimulated, your body feels under attack, triggering racing thoughts, muscle tension, and an overwhelming desire to escape. Psychologist Paul Gilbert identifies three emotional regulation systems: threat, drive, and soothe. The threat system, designed to keep us alive, scans for dangers and easily hijacks the brain, often overreacting to non-life-threatening situations. The drive system pushes us to achieve goals and obtain resources, creating pleasure when balanced, but potentially spiraling into an insatiable, never-enough mindset. The antidote is the soothe system, our rest and digest mode that allows us to feel calm, content, and present. Managing overstimulation requires creating a lifestyle that works with your sensitivity rather than fighting against it. This means developing immediate techniques to activate your soothe system during acute episodes, while building sustainable long-term habits. Just as your body signals an impending cold with a tickle in your throat, it provides early warnings before full-blown overstimulation. By regularly checking in with yourself throughout the day, noting your feelings, thoughts, physical sensations, and bodily state, you can catch these signals early. When overstimulation strikes, the most effective response is removing yourself from the triggering stimulus, whether noise or conversation. Take a break, close a door, walk outside, or retreat to a restroom. When escape isn't possible, you need tools to lower your arousal level. Since threat mode is essentially a physical reaction, the solution must be physical too. Proprioceptive input sensations from moving your body against resistance provides the most calming sensory experience. Try pressing your back firmly against a wall, lying on the floor, doing mini push-ups on a desk or counter, or giving yourself a tight hug. Every sensitive person needs at least one space that brings immediate peace, a sensitive sanctuary for decompression. Ideally, this is a private room, but it could be a cozy chair, desk, or quiet corner. Make it physically comfortable with pillows, plush surfaces, soft lighting, and comfortable furniture. Fill it with joy-bringing items like books, journals, candles, religious objects, calming music, and favorite snacks. Empathy, while one of sensitivity's greatest gifts, can also feel like a curse. It requires truly taking in another's feelings and experiencing them in your own body, sometimes overwhelmingly so. Rachel Horn discovered this working at a palliative care home, where her sensitivity allowed her to connect deeply with dementia patients, but left her emotionally devastated. Unable to maintain professional distance, she would hold herself together at work, only to break down crying in her car afterward. Emotions spread between people like contagions, with sensitive people particularly susceptible to this transmission. Psychologists call this emotional contagion, facilitated by the chameleon effect, our unconscious mirroring of others, facial expressions, and behaviors. This mirroring happens in three stages: first, mimicking another's physical cues, then experiencing the corresponding emotion through a feedback loop, and finally learning the context behind the emotion. Emotions prove most contagious when they come from loved ones rather than strangers. Research shows spouses profoundly influence each other's stress levels, affecting marital satisfaction. Studies suggest women may be more susceptible to emotional contagion than men, particularly regarding stress and negativity, possibly due to socialization around attending to others' emotional needs. Depression similarly spreads between spouses, parents, and children, and even roommates. Negative emotions spread more easily than positive ones, with research showing that merely watching someone experiencing stress can measurably increase observers' cortisol levels. While empathy forms the foundation of human morality, it presents a fork in the road. It can lead to distress and pain, or with practice, to something more beautiful, compassion. Empathy alone can be overwhelming when we absorb others, suffering sometimes causing us to turn away rather than help. Compassion differs subtly but crucially from empathy. While empathy involves mirroring another's emotional state, compassion involves concern, caring, and warmth with an impulse toward action. This shift changes our brain chemistry. Different neural regions activate, heart rate slows, oxytocin releases, and pleasure centers light up. Researcher Tanya Singer found that compassion connects us more deeply to others without the overwhelming pain of pure empathy. The difference manifests physically. Empathy increases heart rate and tension with brain activity linked to negative emotions, while compassion decreases heart rate, promotes calm, and activates positive emotional centers. The key to transforming empathy into compassion lies in where we direct our attention. Neuroscientist Richard Davidson explains that empathy without compassion becomes self-focused as we cope with our own distress, while compassion remains other-centered. By shifting our spotlight from our own feelings to the other person's needs, we move from emotional overwhelm to effective support. Relationships present unique challenges for sensitive people. Despite being empathetic and conscientious, they struggle with needing more downtime, being overwhelmed by conflict, absorbing others' emotions, feeling misunderstood, and craving deeper connections than many can provide. Research by Elaine Aron confirms that sensitive people often report less relationship satisfaction, feeling bored or stuck in a rut because they desire more meaningful interaction and reflection. Sensitive people consistently report requiring greater depth in relationships to feel satisfied. Without this depth, something always feels lacking. Many struggle to find others who desire the same level of authenticity and vulnerability, making meaningful connections increasingly difficult to establish. This challenge reflects a broader societal trend. The American Perspective Survey shows Americans have fewer close friendships than before, communicate less with friends, and rely on them less for support. According to social psychologist Eli Finkel, modern relationships now demand more than love. We expect partners to contribute to our personal fulfillment and growth. This creates pressure that most marriages can't sustain, explaining why average marriages today are weaker than in the past. However, Finkel found the best modern marriages are stronger than ever before. Creating such relationships requires traits like emotional investment, empathy, and self-reflection natural strengths for sensitive people. For sensitive people, conflict produces physiological effects similar to combat stress-racing heartbeat, agitation, and perceptual distortions that trigger threat responses. Many sensitive individuals become so overwhelmed by emotions during disagreements that they shut down or cry, making conflict avoidance tempting. However, marriage therapist April Snow warns that avoiding conflict ultimately limits relationship depth. While occasional accommodation is appropriate, speaking up about boundary violations is essential. Sensitive people often struggle to ask for what they want in relationships, despite easily identifying what they don't want. This reluctance stems from conscientiousness and not wanting to burden others, but ultimately leaves their needs unmet and erodes relationship meaning. Clinical psychologist Lisa Firestone notes that speaking honestly about desires builds emotional intimacy, making partners more responsive. Vulnerability creates trust and connection in relationships, leading to the deeper conversations sensitive people crave. While sensitive people naturally show vulnerability, many learn to suppress it due to the toughness myth that views vulnerability as weakness. Brené Brown's research shows healthy vulnerability increases trust and connection, while Seth Godin compares it to sharing art laying bare something from your heart to be judged. Dr. Seuss observed that children naturally see life through very clear windows, before adults equate them with shutters. Sensitive children exhibit distinctive characteristics. They notice subtle details others miss, feel emotions intensely, absorb others, feelings easily, become overwhelmed in busy environments, need substantial downtime, read people well, dislike violence and cruelty, hate feeling rushed, tend toward perfectionism, struggle under pressure, react strongly to environmental factors like harsh lighting or uncomfortable clothing, startle easily, think deeply about life's mysteries, have vivid dreams, adapt slowly to... Not all sensitive children fit stereotypes. Many aren't shy or timid. 15-year-old Alia, for instance, loves performing and can channel her sensitivity into powerful acting. Similarly, sensitive children aren't necessarily passive or weak. 6-year-old Maria demonstrates strong leadership qualities alongside her sensitivity, exhibiting precision, intelligence, and determination. The chapter also addresses the harmful misconception that boys can't be sensitive, noting that sensitivity occurs equally in males and females. The defining characteristic of sensitive children is that environment profoundly affects them. They suffer more in negative environments but gain disproportionate benefits from positive ones through the sensitive boost effect. Research in Khayelitsha, South Africa, revealed that children with the short SIRT gene associated with sensitivity were 2.5 times more likely to benefit from early intervention programs establishing secure attachment, while less sensitive children showed virtually no benefit. Sensitive children feel discipline more acutely than others, often taking correction personally and carrying memories of punishment for years. Traditional discipline methods like timeouts or stern reprimands can escalate their already intense emotions rather than calming them. Research shows sensitive children have heightened awareness of criticism, severely criticize themselves, and may develop perfectionism to avoid disapproval. They typically possess strong inner moral compasses and have often already punished themselves internally before external discipline occurs. Emotional regulation is especially vital for sensitive children who feel emotions intensely. Parents who coach rather than dismiss emotions raise children with calmer nervous systems, better school performance, and more balanced emotional responses. Emotional coaching means seeing feelings as opportunities to learn and connect, helping children explore their emotions, and teaching healthy coping strategies. In contrast, dismissive parenting that buys into the toughness myth can damage sensitive children by reinforcing shame about their natural emotional intensity. Sensitive employees often live in contradiction. They're frequently top performers who simultaneously experience higher stress levels. They might be the ones quietly retreating to their desks after brief morning greetings, or struggling to recover from emotionally draining interactions. Yet these same individuals often connect deeply with struggling students, anticipate client needs, spot problems before they escalate, and create safe spaces for colleagues to express concerns. Creating the right physical environment is crucial for sensitive employees to thrive. They need workspaces with manageable stimulation levels as they struggle to ignore background noise, bright lights, strong scents, and visual clutter that others might barely notice. Helpful accommodations include reducing clutter, using noise-canceling headphones, taking regular breaks, and having control over their workspace. The emotional atmosphere at work poses perhaps the greatest challenge for sensitive people. Unlike physical distractions that can be blocked, there's no way to silence the emotions and attitudes of colleagues. Sensitive workers easily absorb others' stress and feelings, making it difficult to concentrate and potentially carrying this emotional burden home. Sensitive people have a particularly strong need for meaningful work. Not just collecting a paycheck, but knowing their efforts make a difference and contribute to the greater good. Many organize their entire lives around finding purpose in their careers. This drive for meaning isn't just personally satisfying, it's valuable to organizations. Research shows employees with a strong sense of purpose are healthier, more resilient, more productive, generating an additional $9.078 per worker annually, and more likely to stay with their companies, saving approximately $6.43 million in turnover costs per 10,000 workers yearly. For sensitive people who can't immediately change jobs, creating mental space becomes crucial. The modern workplace often operates on what Cal Newport calls a hyperactive hive mind, constant emails, messages, and meetings that fragment attention and create anxiety, especially for sensitive people who feel deeply responsible to others. Newport, a sensitive person himself, advocates for slow productivity, doing fewer things, but doing them better. This approach cultivates mental space through deep work focused, uninterrupted time on high-value tasks. The sensitive way means embracing sensitivity rather than hiding it, championing our gifts instead of feeling ashamed. It encourages slowing down, reflecting, leading with empathy, and expressing emotions authentically as an antidote to the toughness myth. Yet many sensitive people unconsciously adopt low-status positions in their interactions. While low status has advantages, appearing more trustworthy and approachable, sensitive people shouldn't feel stuck there. The sensitive way calls us to step up and speak out, using our gifts to benefit others without changing who we are fundamentally. Sensitive leaders excel through their emotional intelligence and empathy. Sensitive leaders naturally possess qualities that foster positive workplace cultures, deep empathy that encourages innovation and inclusion, the ability to read rooms and understand others, emotions, what Koreans call nunchi, and the projection of warmth that builds trust. Their reflective nature helps them analyze details, sense when something feels wrong, and deliver criticism constructively. Leadership doesn't require being a CEO. It can be as simple as noticing problems others overlook and speaking up. Sensitive people often notice these issues, but have been conditioned to distrust their intuition. Embracing sensitive leadership means honoring that inner voice that notices gaps, red flags, or when something seems off. Sensitive people possess secret knowledge that others may miss, not because these issues are unimportant, but because others lack awareness. Many sensitive people share their experiences in hushed, confidential tones, as if sensitivity were a dirty secret. This shame stems from the toughness myth, teaching that sensitivity should be changed or hidden. Sensitive people often question themselves and feel they must conceal their true nature. The antidote is changing self-perception by stopping unnecessary apologies for needing downtime, saying no, leaving overstimulating events early, or crying. Instead of viewing sensitivity as an embarrassing secret, we should recognize it as a normal, healthy trait that can become a source of pride. Society has traditionally favored less sensitive traits, overlooking areas where sensitive people excel situations requiring depth, empathy, understanding, intuition, and attunement to others. The scarcity of these soft skills creates gaps that sensitive people naturally fill through their ability to feel others, emotions, and offer unexpected solutions. Embracing the sensitive way over the toughness myth plants revolutionary seeds throughout society. In schools, this means creating quiet decompression spaces, training educators in gentle discipline, teaching that sensitivity isn't a flaw, and normalizing emotional expression for all children. In workplaces, it means valuing emotional intelligence in hiring and promotion, training compassionate managers, moving beyond hustle culture, and creating environments conducive to mental health. In our personal lives, it legitimizes quieter social gatherings, respects individual limits, and removes stigma from needing downtime. Even politics would transform through empathy-filled discussions rather than demonization. Sensitive people aren't sacrificial canaries in coal mines, as Kurt Vonnegut suggested. They're teachers of slowing down, connecting deeply, and creating meaning. It's time to break open the cage that has constrained sensitivity and recognize it as the strength it truly is.